Don't get lost in the waves of change.
190 pages, tens of hours of lawyers. One takeaway today is you now put on your listing agent hat when you meet with a buyer and you treat him the same way. So that's what you need to take away.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
It's a consultation and a strategy. When you think of how people need to buy a home in this market, it takes great strategy. So why not strategize with that buyer? They need your help more than ever.
Depend on KGCI Real Estate on Air.
Hey everybody, welcome. If you are tuning into this, I'm super excited. This is our first ever Feeling Lucky podcast / video event where we interview top producing agents and entrepreneurs who kicked butt in their industry, especially in real estate, but it wasn't always easy, right? We always think that things are super easy. People just got lucky and that's why they got so successful. And that's just not the case. So our guest today, I'm so excited to introduce her. This is Amanda Schlenninger. Amanda is out of Utah. Now, a little bit of background on Amanda, because I've got to give you at least a little bit of a leg up, let people know how much of a badass you are. Amanda has been in real estate for several years. Her team has closed over $500 million in volume. Whoa. In addition to that, I'm reading off my sheet. So if my eyes move over here. So not only was she a badass when she was with Keller Williams and on the cover of the magazine recently, she was named America's Top 100 Real Estate Agent Award winner. How cool is that? Top 1% producing realtor nationwide. Her expertise is best real estate agent in Utah, Ogden, Utah specifically. And she is also a podcast guest, speaker, engager, top producer. She's been on stage. She has coached. She has trained. But that's not the bigger piece, in my opinion. She's also a big-time philanthropist. So, Amanda, yes. I'm going to read this off here, but co-creating a beautiful life series and workshop where she helps women self-develop, right? The things that a lot of us miss out on. So self-development and mindset and mini talk sessions. In addition to that, she also leads 100 Hungry Homeless, which is a Thanksgiving nonprofit that she runs. And I want you to talk a little bit about your other nonprofits and how you came to that, by the way, because I know that's not easy juggling.
Yeah.
But they also include Every Kid Deserves a Christmas Campaign, helping 100 children, Wrapping with Love clothing rack, Every Kid Deserves a Birthday. I can go on and on. If you guys have not figured this out, she freaking is amazing. So I'm going to let you take the stage. Amanda, are you?
I'm so happy to have you here. Good. Kayla, thank you so much for having me. I am super blessed to be in your presence today. I always love getting to chat with you and getting to catch up. So thank you for inviting me to be a guest. I am very honored. So I want to start with saying that. Next, I would like to say, all of the things are not easy, right? Everyone does think you're crazy until you get somewhere. Then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, you got lucky. But, you know, luck has nothing to do with it. It's really getting up when you have had mud, dirt, and dust thrown in your face day after day, and you keep choosing to rise above and putting one foot in front of the other. And looking at those, you know, I look at them as opportunities to grow. Our tough moments are opportunities to grow if we so shall choose, right? It's a choice that we do. So when you look at top producers, it's not that we don't fail forward. I don't even like the word fail. I like them as, you know, we just have more opportunities to grow than others.
We're
actually in the arena getting the mud, dirt, and dust on our face that a lot of people are too afraid to get up and do that, you know, because they're afraid of looking like a failure. And to me, there's no failures. There is just as much as there's no luck. It's just doing the work when nobody else wants to. And even sometimes when you don't want to, but you don't give yourself a choice because I'm not going to negotiate with my mind. I'm going to do the work because it's proven that I've gotten the results from doing it, regardless of what mindset or emotion I'm feeling that day.
I don't know if anybody caught that, but that is so smart. Now, we had talked about how you guide women in self-development and mindset. Do you feel that mindset plays a bigger role, or is it really just, you know, the hustling part? Because I know you're a real estate company, hustling hard real estate, right?
Yeah.
Is it really the hustle or is it the mindset?
Both. I believe that they marry each other. I believe that you have to have just as much hustle as you do heart. What is the heart? The heart is mindset, self-development, looking at them with the right perspective, looking at them as opportunities to grow rather than things that are happening to you. When really we all know from the Mr. Tony Robbins, right? They're happening for you.
Happening for you. Yeah.
Your mindset, and you start to understand what I call the universal language of love. Which, because all these opportunities, ladies and gentlemen, are an act of love from our greater creator, in my belief, right? So I believe that they were put on our path kind of as a challenge for ourselves to see if we're going to show up for ourselves. And the coolest part is by showing up for yourself, you can then show up for those around you, whether it's your husband or a spouse or a partner, or your children, or your team, or me, like huge is my community and my philanthropy and all of that. You know, it's all of those things in one. By being a better me, I'm a better wife, I'm a better mother, I'm a better team lead, I'm a better coach, I'm a better person in my community.
I love that. I love that. So I want you to take us back. So most of the people that are viewing this are in real estate. They've either just started, maybe they're investing, maybe they are real estate agents, right? And we know how challenging that is. So take us back to the beginning. We're going to fast forward birth and childhood and being an adolescent, but tell us when you first started, you got your license. What was your life like at that time?
Ooh. God, it was rough. It still is rough sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. But getting in, sorry, I'm a very passionate person, so.
I know you are, I love it.
It puts me back, I literally get put back there and I'm like, ooh, when I feel the emotions, I'm an empath. So going back to the beginning, I got in because the economy, I was on construction management for 10 years and I was literally in charge of everyone paying, you know, getting the bills paid and collecting on construction management. I managed 5 small construction companies. Well, we all knew. I got in 2012, just to put it into perspective, the beginning of 2012. Things were not pretty. Short sales, foreclosures. I was getting in. I got in when everyone got out.
They're like, bye. And you're like, I got this.
And I was like, perfect. You know, there wasn't 5 million agents. Actually, bigger agents were getting out because it was so tough. Yeah. Right? But I got
they were overextended, right? Their businesses were overextended. They couldn't handle that. Yeah.
Yeah. And we get it as leaders now that we're at where we're at. We understand how heavy and how big of a nut to crack we have to do to stay in business when we have these big teams, you know? So I get it now. But back then, it taught me a lot, right? I was getting in when everyone got out. And to be 100% honest, I didn't have people to turn to. I didn't have anyone to really, my sister was assisting a top producing agent and broker. Mm-hmm. However, she was very into her own production, that agent, you know, and my sister was the assistant. So it was like, I literally got in and had to teach myself everything, but it was pretty cool because I took all the systems that I built within the 5 businesses that I built from the ground up. And I literally applied them into real estate. So I took what I'd already been working on in other construction businesses and built for them and kind of rip off and duplicated myself and made it apply to real estate. So I started
learning. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, cool. I was starting to learn, you know, how to apply things by tweaking them a little bit so that they fit my new career. And it taught me a lot, right? I messed up as I went forward. I did all the things.
Wait a second. You messed up? What? Oh, you do that?
Honey, still to this day, you're right?
We're all perfectly imperfect. We've had these conversations.
No, I have it all. It's fine. Everything's perfect. I live on the hill. I look great. I'm just kidding. And the Joneses, welcome to me. But anyways, so I mean, it taught me a lot. I'll be honest. Like my first house I sold, honey, I showed an agent on my team yesterday was $56,000. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're paying your dues and you quit your job and you go full time and you're a young mom and you have a kid, you know what I mean? And you're trying to provide. And my husband was already super mad that I quit my job because I put a lot of pressure on him. Yeah. And he didn't know, you know, what he was. He does not like uncertainty. And me, I'm like, if there's one thing that I know about myself, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And I'm all in. I'm either all in or all out. Like, there's no really middle for me. And that's kind of a blessing to curse, you know? But
I love that.
I remember he went to get a cup of coffee and our overdraft, we didn't have money for him to get a cup of coffee. Literally, it was $25 over for a $2 cup of coffee. Things were tough in our marriage. They were tough to get going. I had to borrow money from my dad to survive for the first 2 years. It was hard. So anyone that says it's easy is a liar. I think that it can be simple, right? I think we could keep it simple, but easy is not the word to use in real estate because I think it's anything but. But I learned a lot, right? And I learned a lot by doing, and I learned a lot by making mistakes, AKA having opportunities to grow. And then I could correct and continue and build my systems off of the lessons that I learned the hard way. But the hard way,
so it was lessons, right? Lessons. It wasn't failures. It was lessons that you then took forward.
Lessons.
Yeah.
Cause it's all about perspective. Honestly, I didn't know what I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
But once I preached to my team all the time, this is once I knew better, I owe it to myself and those around me to do better. So no one can have a higher standard for me than me. I can be my own best friend and worst enemy, right? Depending on what's going on up here.
It's so and true. That's why it goes right back to that mindset of what am I going to believe about myself? What am I going to allow myself to feel in this moment? Because we can feel despair, right? I think even now, you and I probably have that. Like people think, oh, they've got plenty of money. They're super successful. That's great. We still have those moments of,
oh
my God, am I going to be broke in 2 months? You know, what if this goes wrong? What if this falls out of place? The one thing I want to pull out and elaborate on is you had a tough first 2 years.
Yeah.
It wasn't a tough month. It was 2 years. And what you did was you doubled down. So tell us what took those first couple of months, that first year. I'm sure when you got to the end of that, from the challenges and the turmoil, especially family-wise, what actions were you taking that eventually turned that around? Because obviously we see where you are now. What did that? What did you do?
So I love that you are asking this question because it's quite ironic. I ran across an old post. You know how Facebook like gives you memories?
I love those. I'm like, oh, I know. The first house I sold.
I was like, oh my God, look at me. What was I thinking? What was I wearing?
That's the house. I didn't know how to open the lockbox. This is great. Yeah.
But honestly, I'm a firm believer in manifesting and I always have been in a forever, right? You've been to my office. You've seen my manifestation.
Oh, yeah.
Like everything has to do with what you believe. I believe that you can achieve both good and bad. You can manifest good and you can manifest bad. It's what you put your focus on that expands, right? Mm-hmm. We all know that what you focus on expands. So I have believed in manifesting for a very long time. So vision boards, writing out my goals, doing all these things. Yeah. I actually had a memory pop up on my Facebook and it was from 10 years ago. And it was the very beginning. And I had in my home office, huge whiteboards with tons of color. And I had my health one here. I had my love one here. I had my finances one here. I had my fitness one there. I had my wealth here. I had a whole wall, I promise you, of things that I looked at every single day. Mm-hmm. Every single day when I was making those calls and getting rejected. Every single day when I was role playing with agents across the globe. Every single day when I was showing up for myself, regardless of what mindset or whatever was going on in my life, I showed up for myself and I believed it. And I believed it and I believed it. And I still to this day practice affirmations every morning in the mirror. I look at myself straight eye to eye and I do my I ams. I am my biggest cheerleader.
It is so important. And you just hit the nail on the head. Yeah. You're your biggest cheerleader. If you don't believe you can do it, no one's showing up.
Right.
No one is showing up to save you. No one's showing up to give you the lead. No one is showing up to make your business happen unless you do it. And unless you believe in yourself to do it. Because like you said, if you don't already have it here, as anybody, I'm sure I've done this, you walk into a listing, crazy confident. Honestly, you don't even know what you're doing. You just know in the back of your head, this is mine. Like when I walk out of here, this listing is mine. And you come out of that appointment, you still don't even know what the hell happened. Like, I'll go and be like, well, they signed it, but I still honestly have no idea like what we're going to price this thing at. But you were so overly confident.
Yep.
They couldn't not sign with you. They couldn't not have that agreement of, yeah, we absolutely should be listing with you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the presence you bring to everything. So if anybody, by the way, where can people follow you while they're watching right now?
Yeah,
social.
I'm on all social media platforms. You can search my name below, but also Hustle and Heart Real Estate Group is on the platforms, all the different platforms as well. So that's the best.
So, and I bring that up for a reason. Yeah. I want people to see what you're doing. So on a daily basis,
thank you.
Amanda's life is not perfect. Okay. Yeah. I know this. Amanda knows this. She knows my life isn't perfect either. Yep. But why I bring that up is the firm belief. It's not just Amanda saying this.
Yeah.
It's that you're doing it on a daily basis, right? Like I've run into, and I'm sure you have people that are talk the talk, do these things.
Oh, yeah.
And you follow them or you get into the meet them in person and they're, it's like, who are you? Like that, this isn't what you said you were online. This isn't what you said you were in that podcast.
Yeah.
You're doing the actual things.
Yeah.
So I want to dive in from that because I think vision boards and manifestation are key.
Yes.
I want to talk to you. So those first 2 years kind of sucked. We could put that into a nutshell, right? But you learned a ton and you built your foundations and then you grew from there.
Yeah.
So as you've been going through this process, I want to highlight or zoom in on what was one of the biggest challenges that you ever faced. And I say biggest, it could be actually something small, right? Sometimes that little freaking pebble in your shoe, that's just a total pain in the ass can be your biggest challenge, right?
Yeah.
But what is the challenge that you faced in your business and how did you overcome that?
Ooh, that's a great question. I have faced so many challenges from wanting a team to not wanting a team from, you know what I mean? From saying, oh God, I want to do this forever to, oh my hell, I could go and sell alcoholic snow cones on a beach to be better off. You know what I mean?
Like, I'll go with you. I'll do the surfboards and the alcoholic beverages.
Podcast on the beach and just, you know, being great. And I probably would, but I'm a go-getter, right? So I know that like, regardless, it's funny, Josh, my husband always says, when you talk about you're going to retire, you know that that's never going to happen. And I'm
it's impossible for you. Yeah.
But my biggest challenges probably that I've overcome is growing through a lot, right? When we're talking about, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world, in our life, in our whatever. And that's why I think to flood our mind with certainty is very important in our daily rituals and practices in this industry. Because we all know about the real estate roller coaster, right?
Oh, yeah. We
try to avoid it.
But it happens.
But it just happens, right? I don't know about you, but like I'll go a minute and then all of a sudden I get 300 contracts in a day. And then all of a sudden, you know what I mean? Or I'll go 3 months and then I'm like exhausted. And then I'm like, I want to go down right now.
I'm there, but sometimes I'm like,
I'm like, I'm going to lose my shit if I don't slow my roll around here, you know? So sometimes I have to pull back. I would have to say that is my biggest challenge. Going really big or going home because I went really big and I can't keep up with myself.
I'm going to interrupt because if anybody knows anything, and if you guys start following Amanda, I highly recommend it. She's a bubble of positivity on a daily basis, but Amanda goes, you go 100%. Like it's either 100 or none. And you will go until it's like, okay, this obviously is not working. And I've given it absolutely everything.
Yes.
And now I'm going to take my foot off the gas pedal. Now, here's the cool thing about that, about you, if you don't mind me saying, because you don't do anything half-assed, you do find more success. Even if it's just a piece of success from that action that you could take on to something else, you're putting everything into it. And I feel like a lot of people that are watching, including myself, I'm guilty of this sometimes, we dip our toe in. Right? We're like, oh, we're going to do this thing, but I'm not going to tell anybody about it. Like, how long have I been telling you I was going to do a podcast? Forever. Yeah. Right?
Right.
And it was, you get in your head about, well, it's got to be perfect before I start it. Right? Mm-hmm. Everything has got to be laid out. if anybody, nobody was on obviously while we were getting ready to get on this podcast, but yeah. I think it took us like 45 minutes, which thank you. Yeah. But it's that imperfect action and commitment. Like, would you say that that is why you've achieved so much, is like it just diving in and as things are coming, just making decisions and figuring it out?
Yes, absolutely. You know what? I'll be honest. Like I tell my team all the time, I am far from perfect. Watch my social media. I mean, my story is a David to Goliath story left and right, right? I've overcome so many obstacles in my life, but they've just made me stronger, bigger, better, brighter, you know, more knowledgeable and more confident in what I do. Am I tired sometimes? Absolutely. But I don't know everything, but I know a lot, right? And I know a lot from doing. I know a lot from either doing it correctly or not correctly. And I'm not too prideful to say that I am always a student and a teacher at once. I am always hungry.
Yeah.
Regardless of how much food is on my table. And it's not even about the money for me. It's about what the money can do. Tying back into my philanthropy, I take a portion of every one of my transactions and put it into my nonprofit to go and do these things because I'm passionate about my community. There's a whole reason, and we could get into that on another podcast, why I'm so passionate about the women, children, and the homeless and all these things. Mm-hmm. But it means something to me. It's part of my purpose. My purpose is to help people grow, is to help people achieve some of their biggest goals in their life and help them overcome those self-limiting beliefs, whether it's a homeowner or someone on my team that wants to hit huge goals, or just someone in the community through our self-development courses.
I know
that I'm here to help heal, lead, and help light up the world. Mm-hmm. And I know that I've gone through so many of my trials and tribulations. I know that I've walked through hell and forged the fire like a phoenix for a reason. I know that I'm here to help others see the light within themselves when they're feeling like times are dark, whether that's new agents, you know, specifically, because I know that this is what it's about, or anyone else in my life. I'm not saying I'm perfect and I'm one all know all. I'm F up all the time. But I'm always having great intentions. I'm always willing to right my wrongs. I'm always willing to apologize when I go wrong or make a correction in my systems or whatever it is that I'm doing once I learn something.
And show up.
And show up.
I think that's one of the biggest things is showing up. Like when you say you're going to show up,
I show up.
You show up.
100%.
Like whether you're prepped and like ready to go, or whether it's like you've been prepared for weeks, it's, I said, I'm going to be here. I know you called me 5 minutes ago. I'm here.
Yes.
And that makes a huge difference because you are making an impact on other people's lives, which as I've noticed in the years I've known you, makes a huge impact on your life.
Yes.
But it's because in my opinion, you're coming from the give mindset, which is creating abundance for all. And that's why people flock to you. And that's what's creating your success.
Yes.
Am I right on that?
Yes. But let me jump into that because I would think that that is partially true. I think it's partially true. And let me tell you why. I am well known. I am all these things. I've had a lot of people that love me and blah, blah, blah. In these last couple of years, I've noticed when I've had boundaries, and I've made myself a priority first because I've been that giver, and I ended up being like, okay, I have the money. I have the this, I have the that, but I'm drained. Like all the way drained at the end of the day from giving. So I had to put in boundaries. And when I did that, it's interesting to see what's happened to some of my relationships. Once I demanded an equal ebb and flow in my relationships to have a healthy and sustainable relationship, you will be surprised of who shows up and who doesn't show up for you.
Oh, I've had this. I've had this recently. And
it hurts.
It hurts a lot. It hurts a lot.
I still cry sometimes about some of my relationships that I thought would be there forever. And it's not that I've changed in a negative. It's that I demanded love and respect for myself, from myself and everyone around me first. I'm making myself a priority now because at the end of the day, I did it the other way and it didn't always feel good. And it was always, if I was the giver, things were great.
And there was plenty that were sitting there going, she'll always give and I'll always take.
Yep.
and that doesn't work out. And that could be from anywhere from people that you are friends with to business relationships, to people on, you know, teams, agents, everybody, right? Like 100%. Everybody wants a piece.
All of it. And so I've started to get really, really good at boundaries, to be honest, to protect that, because although I'm a giver, you teach people how to treat you. So sometimes when you're the one who's always been providing the whole Thanksgiving feast, come sit at my table. I have, you know, enough to share, and I am a giver. I'm a philanthropist at heart, but also I don't want to be expected to be the giver. I want to give because I want to.
That's the key.
I want to give because it feels good. I don't want people to come and make demands of me. So when I say, do I believe that's gotten me success? Yes. But I've also believed that it's worked as a hindrance to my own mental health and happiness. And so therefore, when I made that, I realized that I've gotten better quality over quantity in my relationships, both with clients and team and family and friends and all of it.
That's amazing. I love that. And I feel like that's a problem that a lot of us have, right? Especially as agents. Yeah. As agents, we are seen as the doormat. Whether it's, you know, one of our clients is pissed off at their spouse, so they take it out on us. Whether it's they're calling at us at 9 o'clock at night and demanding that they speak with us, right? Have you ever tried to call your doctor or your attorney at 9 o'clock at night? No, they've got like 3 days a week that they work, and you've got to catch them within those 4 hours of those 3 days. And if not, then you're out of luck. And we still pay them and we still respect them.
You know what's funny? You bring that up. I literally said that this morning on our morning huddle. I literally told the girls, because I have some newer agents, and their stress from their clients becomes their stress. So then it becomes my stress. And I says, here's the thing. If your clients are looking to you for that constant in this transaction that is anxiously exciting and scary for them, and you're letting their shit become your shit, it's not going to be a good outcome. You have to learn to compartmentalize. Although you're feeling it, you cannot show it in a sense. And you can't bring it to me. I will not tolerate it at all, like anymore. I'm like, listen, you need to learn to be the professional to guide them through this and not let their shit become your shit. I literally use that same example I always do. Doctors are there to save your life, but you can't call them at 9 o'clock at night.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So like at the end of the day, like they still have time off too. So you need to learn how to put boundaries in sooner rather than later for all you new agents. I highly recommend you remembering that you're the professional that's guiding the transaction. The transaction is not guiding you. It is your job to direct, lead, and move the process forward in a smooth and professional manner.
That's a great way of putting it. That's such a great way of putting it. I feel like everybody has this challenge, I feel like, in this industry, right? I remember when I think I was 2 years into real estate, and I was getting kind of burnt out because I was hustling, right?
Yeah.
I was doing everything myself. I didn't use any leverage yet. And one of the first things, I finally got a coach, and they said to me, you don't work after 7 p.m. anymore. And I was like, what? You know, like, now, mind you, anybody that's newer in real estate, A, you're either feeling that or you're going, I don't know if I want to do real estate if I have to work after 7. It becomes a norm, by the way.
Yes.
Unless you don't let it. And I built my boundary and I left my voicemail message. And my voicemail message says, and to this day it says it, thank you so much for reaching me. If you've missed me, I'm probably out making calls, helping my buyers and sellers buy and sell their homes. If you've reached me after 7 p.m. or on Sunday, I will reach out to you the next business day. Thanks so much. Now, here's the biggest transition. Because now I had to tell all of my clients, hey guys, I'm not answering your calls after 7 anymore. And guess who is the biggest, I guess you could say, rule breaker of this?
You.
Me.
I already knew it.
Why?
Me. Because we want it when we want it. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Because when you are a top producer, you do things that most people don't and won't. So let's make sure that we educate your audience and the new agents out there. It wasn't always that way, right, Kayla? Like we didn't always have that on our things. So for the first 8 years of my career, ladies and gentlemen, I've been doing this for a decade. I worked 85 hours a week. Am I proud of it? No. I've sacrificed kids' birthdays. I've worked on Christmas and wrote an offer from a demanding client. And shame on me because I let them. Yep. I'm not saying don't be hungry. I'm not saying do what others won't. I'm not saying don't work 85 hours a week. You have to start somewhere. And yes, here's the thing. In this industry right now, when there are so many competition or other colleagues,
get ahead.
You have to have a leg ahead. So I tell my girls, yes, have boundaries, but you have to be hungry. And, you know, sometimes people get twisted. Like, I had to have a conversation with my team. They were like, allow myself grace. Cause I was telling them, like, listen, allow yourself grace and blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And they kept using it as an excuse.
Yes.
And so I was like,
so I can slack off cause I'm giving myself grace.
And I was like, hold on. And I'm going to have these boundaries and they're trying to do things that I'm doing, but they're not where I'm at. So I'm like, here's the thing. You can allow yourself grace after you've given your grit. Yes. You give your grit till the gas is gone. Ooh, and then you allow that. Your grace.
Grace after your grit.
Grace.
Grace after your grit. Write that down, anybody who's taking notes on this, because this is good stuff.
You cannot allow yourself grace if you have not showed up to do the work. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Like, you have nothing to be graceful about. What, you got out of bed today? You did a self-help day? Like, I'm sorry. Like, you can earn that. Earn that for yourself.
Yes.
But
yes,
it goes back to showing up when you do or do not want to. If you want the results, if they are a must, you will do anything and everything honest and ethical and worthy to get there so that you have a respectable and reputable business that will outlast any highs and lows that this market will give you.
Yes. I love
but
that.
But until then, you're not entitled to this,
like, I want my trophy now. I just started. Yeah,
I'm gonna get a trophy. I'm sorry, you have to earn it. And you know what? I remind the girls on my team, I'll be honest. Hey, you have a business within a business. I will help give you the tools. I have spelt out. I have a whole software program that I'm going to launch, by the way. I'll get you details on that. Yes. Basically walks every agent, and I'm beta testing it with my team, how to do a transaction from A to Z.
Yeah.
Every single thing is in there. Every single platform is in there. Everything is in there. So I've already given them the secret sauce. I've already given them the recipes.
Yes.
You know, now it's like, it's almost too easy.
Yeah.
To where they still,
I've had this where I give so much that it's too easy. Yeah.
And so I've started learning how to have conversations of, hey, that's in this program. Have you looked it up? Oh, okay. Well, we're going to be resourceful and you're going to be proactive rather than reactive. And if you come to me with a problem, you better come to me with a solution. Because I am raising, like they're my kids. I am helping lead, right? And influence people to be top producers. I don't want.
You're empowering. You are empowering them to lead themselves. And I think that's what a good leader does, right? We guide as leaders, as coaches, as trainers, as professionals, we guide people to the solution. But you would be failing them as a leader if you constantly answer their questions, because guess why? They're not going to be empowered to do it on their own. Without you, they would be nothing in the industry. And that's not what you want to create. You want to create independent, powerful agents.
1,000%.
That are leading others. And that's the big key.
Yeah. I want people that are proud of themselves for showing up for themselves to do it for themselves and those they love for all the reasons that they do or do not want to do it. I do not want to. Here's what I say. I will contribute to your success. I will not carry your success.
Ooh, I like that. I am
here to contribute to your growth. I will not carry your growth. It is time for you to show up for you. I can give you the tools, honey, but you got to show up and sharpen them, and you got to put them in your own little toolbox.
You need to write. So let me ask you about this then. Yeah. For those of us who, or for those of the people watching right now, we talked about your challenging years, but the one thing I wanted to ask you about, when did you feel like you hit success, right? Because there's so many out there that are hustling. They're doing the things, right? There's some that aren't. And by the way, if you guys got anything from that conversation, it's get up and put in the work. And yeah, the first 1 to 2 years might be challenging, but you're building up your foundation. So how long into this did it feel like I made it? Like, I feel like I actually have a business.
That's a good question. So actually, let me jump back to something you just said. I want agents to know that the first 2 years, I look at it like this, and this is what I preach. We are basically
as new agents, you're in college. You're in on-the-job training. An on-the-job training that you can get paid really good money for. And if you're smart, you'll join a team so that you can learn how to do things the right way from all the blood, sweat, and tears that your leader probably had to do, correct and continue, and put into a formula for you to easily read.
Yes.
Right? So this is college. So don't expect to be where some of these other people are. Sure, there's a few newer agents that are getting there quick because they're doing the work.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so there's different
things. They're getting, hold on. They're lucky. They're just lucky. Amanda.
Yeah. I was gonna make fun
They're lucky.
They're just lucky, but really look at their day compared to yours, right?
Yes.
If you don't have those results, please look at their results
actions
over their reasons. Compare and contrast what reasons you have why you're not there to their results. So then we'll have a perfect solution as to what the recipe is that did or didn't get you to where you want to be. Is it a recipe for disaster or a recipe for success? It's your choice.
I love that.
You know? So
it's so true.
Back to when I figured out I was there. I still don't feel like I'm there. Every day, I don't know about you, but even as a top producer, I'm still not at any point in my life. I have not achieved where I feel like I've arrived to success. I am a successful person. I believe that it is a destination, or it is a journey, not a destination. And I'm still on that journey. I'm still growing. I'm evolving. I have so much to offer that I want to do. My focus is more on my team now and helping them accomplish those things. And in that, I feel more fulfilled and gratitude because I love watching people grow, right? And contributing to that. But as far as like, I think when I can look back, it was when everyone like that I looked up to started looking up to me. That's like when I started noticing.
When they're calling, you're like, how do you do this? You're like, are you calling me?
I was like, they were like the huge mountain.
The big dogs.
In my eyes and in the industry, and everyone knew them and everyone talked about them. And then all of a sudden I'm that person. And I'm like, but I'm just still.
It feels so
like,
weird.
Still me. Like, you know, I'm still the complete F up sometimes. Like, I mean, you know, if you saw me behind closed doors, you would like think like, oh, she's not cool. You know,
who is this person?
Perfectly imperfect, still on that journey to success. I have not arrived. I've accomplished a lot in my life that I'm very proud of. To the contrary, I have made a lot of mistakes, AKA had a lot of opportunities to grow in the process. And I plan to continue that path because I love growth. And growth 90% of the time is uncomfortable. So I have gotten comfortable in the uncomfortable and still show up for myself.
I love that. So I know we've kept you over time, but I've got one final question for you.
Yeah.
And I've absolutely enjoyed every minute of this.
Ditto.
So as the title of this podcast, this video, this interview series goes is feeling lucky. Because we hear it as leaders a lot. You're crazy until you're lucky, because people are like, oh my gosh, why are you doing that? You're never going to succeed at that. Suddenly one day you pop out and you're making all this money and you're happy. And they're like, oh, you just got lucky. So what is one of the things that you were consistently doing that others were looking at you going, you'll never be successful at that? Or why are you doing it that way? That's not how it's done. And yet it made you successful. It was a key component to making you successful. And they were just like, eh.
I love it.
What was that thing?
Okay. So one, there's no such thing as luck, right? Luck is just hard work doubled down and the results thereof. There is no such thing as luck. Luck is maybe unless you won the lottery. That's about the only time I look at luck. But if we're talking about luck in business, just get that out of your mind. There's no such thing. Right? That's just some bullshit story that someone that didn't do the work wanted to point the finger at someone else in the industry that's doing it better than them. And that's just envy and jealousy, if I'm going to be honest. Someone that says they're lucky is probably fighting their own demons and you need to pray for them. So I'll just say that. So I don't believe in luck. So that can just go out the back door, you know, but crazy. Absolutely. I'm crazy. Absolutely. I'm crazy because, if you would have thought someone that has had my past would be where I am crazy enough to believe that I could overcome all the trials and tribulations and all of the things that I've been through in my life to be where I am. Absolutely. I'm crazy enough to believe that I could, and I did.
Yeah. I love that.
That's all.
Well, everybody on the sidelines is like, she's not going to make it. Look at her first 2 years. We're going to judge you. And by the way, I'm going to add to this. I'm sure you've experienced this. No one who is above you in success is ever going to hate on you. Oh. It's always those, and not everyone who is below you is what I'm saying is, but those who are hating, those who are throwing shade, they're the ones who are jealous. They're the ones who are trying to pull you down back to their level because your success makes them uncomfortable. Looking around the room, no one who's more successful than you is going to shove you back down. Instead, they actually are more apt to give you a hand and pull you up.
100%. Great leaders will, right? For the right people. I don't say yes to everyone on my team. In fact, I say no to a lot of people because I want to keep the caliber of agents fitting my culture, fitting my style of teaching, right? I'm not going to have someone that shows up with every reason or not show up because they have every reason. I want results. So it's not that I judge those people that that's their journey. They're just not my people, right?
Yes.
But I will be honest, what you're talking about is called the crabs in a bucket.
Yes, this is the third time that someone has mentioned this in the last 2 days. So yes, please.
I don't know if you guys know this, but if there's crabs in a bucket and there's a boiling water, if one of the crabs is trying to get up, the other crabs will pull them down. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they want, if misery loves company, if we're going down, you're going down with us. And to the contrary, some people with big egos, you know, don't like competition. They want to know that they have a leg up on you.
Yeah,
it just is what it is. You'll see it a lot in this industry. Get used to it. You know, because at the end of the day, I mean, people are making big money and money can change people. That is one promise that I will make, that I have made to myself and will keep, is, you know, so many people know me from my past to the now, and they're like, you're still you. And I'm like, I always will be. That's my promise and my gift to myself, is I'm never going to let the money or the success or the fame or what it is I do or do not have change me. When I had nothing, I was everything. And when I have everything, I'm everything. Mm-hmm. Because everything is within me now and always.
Money only emphasizes who you already are.
Right.
So I love that. Well, thank you so much. I truly appreciate you being on. It was so great to see you.
Love you.
And for everybody that's out there, once again, go check out Amanda on social media. She's on Insta. She's on Facebook. She's active everywhere. And if you are in the Utah area, guess what? She's a real person. Connect with her. Her team is a bunch of rock star gals who are out there to spread their message of hustle and heart. So thank you so, so much. Love you. I will see you soon. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and I'll see you next week.
Love you.
For more information and to follow along, be sure to follow at Kayla Lindsay Realtor on all social media platforms.
This is going to be the largest transfer of market share we've ever seen between agents in history.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
You treat your buyers just like you do a seller. You get a consultation, you pitch, and you compete for the value you will deliver for the fee you're willing to accept.
Stay informed, stay prepared. Depend on KGCI Real Estate on Air.